You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's Jeff Kay, public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside James to my right and Chris to my left, my name is Ryan Chambers. This is the after-game review for the Stars game against the one and only nasty peoples. I'm not even going to say their names because I don't want to. No one likes the Red Wings because they win too many cups. Anyways, thank you all for joining on along with us live. They do get the win here tonight by a final score of 4-1 over those nasty Red Wings. There were a lot of Red Wings fans in attendance tonight, guys, but unfortunately for them, they are going home sad, and the Stars are going home with yet another opportunity to not lose three in a row. They continue to do that under the Pete DeBoer era, and they jump into second place in the Central with the game tonight. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Great. Love that game. I mean, that's exactly what we want to see from the offense. We needed a little bit of help chipped in from our bottom lines. We got that from the rookies. They looked fantastic. Blumel, for his third game in a row, has looked really dangerous offensively. Absolutely love that. And then late in the game, when you need your big guys to step up, that's exactly what they do. And Johnny gets one to go late and really put the icing on the cake to that game and make sure there's no third period shenanigans going on. So I just really love the execution that the Stars had tonight. And all those goals come right in front of the net. And fighting for pucks in front of the net is what you need to do to get a high volume of goals to go in.
Yeah, I mean, this rookie scoring makes every game that the Stars play easy. I mean, you get one or two goals, even when one goal's, I mean, fantastic from the rookies, but you get two of them tonight and it's a breeze all the way through the game.
Well, and first off, what I would like to do is apologize to everybody for the expectation of an episode last night. I started watching the game at like 8:30 when I got the opportunity to, after I came home from a work-related thing, and then I fell asleep around 10 and didn't wake up till about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. So again, I'm sorry for everybody that was waiting for an episode. But, I mean, tonight was an excellent job, and the Stars, they got exactly what they needed here tonight. I mean, they got depth scoring, they got rookie scoring, they got scoring from their best players, from Wyatt Johnston. Robo is now, since Christmas, he is the highest scoring forward with 19 points, I think is what he ended up with tonight since Christmas. He's been ridiculous. And what's funny is that he was quiet tonight, and yet he had a multi-point night. Just fantastic all the way around. And need I remind you, this is without an entire line of their top six.
And the other good news is both Roope Hintz and Mason Marchment practiced this morning. Ryan saw Mason Marchment tonight. You said his face looked fine, right, Ryan?
That is true.
Weird squiggles?
Nope, no weird squiggles.
So we got reinforcements on the horizon, too. So absolutely love that. Previous two games were rough. I mean, you're one against the Canadians. It's the scoring trouble. That's the one where you really look back and be like, man, you want a Roope Hintz and a Mason Marchment there. And then last night is just, I mean, it's a backup goalie. That's going to happen a few times a year. So It's really good to bounce back, get a strong goaltending effort, and get the execution you need.
I know we're mostly here to talk about the Red Wings game, but any just quick thoughts about the game from last night?
I mean, it felt like the Stars were never in that game till over, it was like 25 minutes left, maybe, that the Stars finally started at least looking competitive. And by then, Colorado already had three or four goals. And DeSmith, honestly, he lets in six, but there could have been like 12 goals.
Yeah, he let in some softies, but then he made other huge ones. So it was kind of weird.
So that's it really, really to me, that game was failed back checking and not getting into the game until too late. I mean, it's just slow start and bad back checking.
I just wanted to mention that I thought it was extremely disrespectful by Robertson to do the same thing twice to poor Mr. Wedgwood, his former goalie.
He tried to mount a one-man comeback.
it was really funny because I was almost like, I thought in the back of my head, I was like, you know, Robertson's probably taking advantage of this because he noticed this sort of stuff from practice the last couple of years. That was the only thing I could think of in the back of my head. So yeah. it was like flat out disrespectful, the second one. But I mean, you got to take what you got to take. And, you know, despite the Stars not playing well in that game, I thought that at least they made it a game late. They did. And that's a game I really would have liked to win against Colorado. But, you know, in the end, they're missing a lot of guys. They're treading water. They're exceeding expectations right now with, you know, like what, four rookies in the lineup right now, five, I think, even. So still they're doing a fantastic job despite the entourage that is missing.
It's such a tough game too, because this is the first game Stars against Avs in the Avalanche building since the game six overtime winner. So the Avs have reason to be annoyed there. And then they also come off of a 3-0 turnaround where they let up four straight and lose the game 4-3. So it's really tough, especially when you're talking about you got five rookies in the lineup. There's no chance for them there. They're going to get killed purely by killer instinct.
Yeah. And to connect the two games, we've kind of complained all season about how the Stars aren't executing enough when they have good stretches within games. And probably the best stretch that the Stars had in that Avs game was the beginning of the third period. And they're able to capitalize with two goals there. In the game here tonight, the Stars dominated the first period, just absolutely dismantled the Red Wings and capitalized on it as well. It's not just outplaying them. It's outplaying them, then getting out to a lead that is almost insurmountable. And that's what they did. They didn't have to outplay the Red Wings as badly in the next two periods because they already had a 3-goal lead. It's a lot easier.
And they kind of let them in a little bit at points. Like Detroit definitely had their pushes here tonight. But when they did have pushes, Otter was fantastic. He was really good tonight, I thought, as well. He made some very key stops. And then even more great that I absolutely loved that we didn't see tonight was bunches of goals by the opposite team. And especially, like, you know, Detroit gets a goal tonight, you know, and you could be thinking, oh no, here we go again. They're going to allow another two or three goals here. And Wyatt Johnson goes the other way and says, no, never mind. I'm going to take it. I'm going to score backhand. So I thought that was huge tonight as well. So Chris, that's a very good point. I got to bring this up because I'm not the only one that's thinking about it. Chad is talking about it a whole bunch, but again, to kind of connect both of the games, Matt Dumba, he is such a polarizing player, if that makes any sense. He's mostly a negative player, but then he makes these great plays. I think he saved like one or two goals last night, but then he had some really stupid, dumb plays as well. He takes dumb penalties, and then you see him not playing the game tonight. And I didn't think that Smith was like amazing or anything like that, but I thought he was adequate for what the Stars needed from him tonight. And I think the reason Smith gets in is a combination of, yes, it's the second night of a back-to-back, so it's nice to have a fresh guy back there, but also Dumba was not very good. So I mean, what do y'all think about Dumba staying out at this point? He's in and out, in and out, in and out. And I'm almost at the point where he's our number seven guy and we just let Smith run with the number six job.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think that's the case. I think Smith is not going to be a regular NHL guy. They don't trust him enough. That being said, they trusted him tonight here. He got 16 minutes time on ice, finished a plus one. He had a pretty solid game. But I don't think we're done with the Dumba experiment yet, as Jacob said in chat, because he's still dealing with something. He's got the bubble on his face. I mean, there's something going on with him still. So I think you're willing to give Dumba a little bit longer, being fully healthy, and see what he can do. The other thing is that Bischel is still getting good playing time and learning good stuff in the AHL as well. this Texas Stars had a game here tonight that started at 5, so I was able to catch both of these games. Also got a post-game article if y'all want to check it out up on 100 Degree Hockey. But the third goal that the Admirals scored tonight against the Texas Stars was a deflection in front of the net, and that happened because Bischel was leaking too far out away from his goal and wasn't able to lock that man down. He was able to be free and get a stick on it and get it past Hellberg. So it's not like Bischel is absolutely dominating the AHL level. He's absolutely probably the Stars' best defenseman and is a big part of it, but he's still learning stuff and he's still getting better here in the AHL too. So if you have the opportunity to let Dumba try and find his game and have Bischel still improve, I think that's the best option to take. And if Dumba doesn't work out, then you bring him up at the end of the season like the Stars have done in the past, and you've got a shot in the arm to get you into the playoffs, get a better seed, and then going into the playoffs, you got a guy who is better rested.
Yeah, I mean, the whole situation's really tough. I mean, Lundqvist didn't have a good game last night against the Avs either. And
he was pretty bad, yeah.
And that it happens every time they play against the Avalanche. The Avalanche just seem to find a way to expose the worst defenseman on your team. And when you're making stupid plays while the team is targeting you, the opposite team is targeting you, I mean, you're going to look really silly and you're going to look really bad. And that's what happened. And you got to find ways to adapt and to just make the smart play every time.
Yeah. I want to pull this up from chat from Jacob, who I just responded to. He's just basically saying that the difference in play between Dumba and Bischel is still pretty obvious. And I agree with that. Right now, I think Bischel did play better than Dumba. But I think if you have the chance to let Dumba find his game that he had 3 or 4 years ago and have Bischel still get better at the same time, that's the best thing to make this team the best it can be come playoff time. So, and I think that's what the Stars are more focused on right now. They've done the winning the Central Division thing. They've done the winning the West thing. They don't care as much about that, to be blatantly honest. What they care about is being the best possible team that they can be come game one, round one.
That's interesting that you say that, Chris, because I don't know if I necessarily agree with you about the whole Dumba thing, because he's gotten his chances and he's come in, he's had a good game here or there. And then there's some games where he has a fantastic first and second period, like absolutely fantastic, makes the right plays. He's in the right spot at the right time. He saves a goal. And then he just, he backs it up with some terrible plays the other way.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm 100% agreeing.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it as well, to be completely honest, because we're over the hump now. I mean, we are in the dead dog days of the winter, and the hardest part of the schedule when you're not really close to the playoffs yet, but you're also far away from the start of the season. And this is where they have to really figure out who they are. That they've got, I feel very confident now about them having a playoff spot, more so than I was 20 games ago. And what you said kind of sparked my head a little bit, is they got to start getting ready for the playoffs. And I know there's like 30 games away, but Dumba has to figure, he should have already figured it out by now. He's a veteran guy. He's been around the block a while, and he's, whatever he was dealing with, I don't think he's dealing with it as much. So he might not necessarily be at 100%, but he's better than he was. So, sorry, injury-wise is what I should say. Injury-wise is what I'm talking about. But we can't afford at this point for him to try and figure it out.
That's just how I 100% agree with what you're saying. But, and I think if the Stars were in a wild card spot right now, or heaven forbid, not in the playoff spot, I think Bischel would be playing night in, night out. I think that's the difference. The Stars are comfortably in a playoff spot. They're not worried about missing it. They can give Dumba a chance to get better, which would make the Stars better. Even having Dumba just be a little bit better as a number 7 going into the playoffs, that would be a benefit. And Bischel is still definitely getting better in the AHL and learning a lot of stuff. If Bischel was blowing up the AHL and wasn't getting any better at all, I think he would also be in the NHL. But they're able to do both at the same time right now, and I think that is going to be best for the Stars come April.
Completely speculating here, but maybe Dumba's lack of being able to play is maybe a reason why the Stars were looking at a possible Klingberg reunion.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Klingberg is a right-handed guy.
Yeah, if Dumba was playing good right now, we wouldn't be looking for a defenseman at all.
I still don't think we're looking for a defenseman because we know we've got some guys who can. I mean, even Capo Bianco, Petrovic, like those guys can come up in a pinch if we needed one of them. But like Klingberg would have been a decent, you know, bottom pairing guy who could play on the power play. For goodness' sake, someone else. Good.
I think that was the main point of the Klingberg conversation, was the power play more than the defense, really.
But still, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to have another right-handed guy who can actually play, because right now it's either Miro's playing out or Essa's playing out of his left side or whatever. So
maybe Bishop can. He's done it.
Yep. Maybe Bishop can. Let's transition this a little bit away from Dumba. I do want to talk about Maverick Bourque a little bit, because I think he deserves a whole lot of credit right now, because he is a guy that he's not like super consistent. He's not lighting the world on fire, but he has absolutely been so consistent over the course of the last 3 weeks. He has really started to show, you know, why he can be a top six forward in this league. And, you know, playing on that second line with Duchesne and with Ben, with Wyatt Johnston being on the top line, he looked really good tonight, and he gets rewarded tonight with a goal.
Yep. I really liked it. I think his skill really fit better with that second line too, which is kind of what I talked about when he was playing on the fourth line, is that that's not going to be the best spot for him. And I think he kind of proved that with how he played tonight with some high skill players.
Yeah. And the nice thing is seeing him get rewarded for being good offensively. The last 8 games, if he scores a point, the Stars win.
Yep. It's pretty sweet.
That's an interesting stat. I love that. Hey guys, have you tried Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? The NFL playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Pick 6 is super easy to play. Just select 2 or more players and choose whether they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. It's fun, simple, and you can win big. Best of all, Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and much more. And here's the kicker. DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in credits to keep the action going. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. 1 per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Okay, Jacob saying Bourque is heating up, but needs to be a little more confident with just ripping shots from the point when he has the puck in a good angle instead of making unnecessary passes. I think he's referencing that 1-2-on-1 rush in the game today where he had the puck, and I don't even remember who he was on the Ben. Rush with. But was it Ben? Okay. So I understand wanting to get the puck to Ben, because Ben is a great shot when he's, you know, on a 2-on-1 like that. But, man, that's – I even wrote down in my notes, I remember that he's got to be more selfish with that puck there. He's got to shoot the puck.
And that's something that I think Jamie Benn does intentionally with younger players, especially on rushes like that. He just lets them have it every single time. And that's going to be a learning moment for Bourque. I remember Ben doing that with Johnston all the time in his rookie season. I mean, they're on a 2-on-1 and Ben isn't even like expecting the pass.
He just crossed the blue line and he gives it up.
Yeah. So it's something that he had to learn, and that's honestly the way that you learn it.
Agreed.
Chris, what are you seeing from the play from Ritzy and also from Blumel, who gets a goal tonight? But Ritzy gets his first NHL point on the assist.
That's exactly where I was going next. Good good segue, Ryan. Ritzy looked really good. He gets to be in center this time, which is his natural position, and it's really where he's able to show off his two-way ability. He looked a lot more comfortable tonight, obviously. That line looked really good. They were forechecking extremely hard, creating a lot of momentum. So, yeah, I thought he played fantastic. Center is really where he can show off what he does best, and that's the two-way game. He is much more apt for a fourth line role than say a Bork would be.
I really liked watching Blue Mel play the last couple of games, because I remember telling you guys the first game he got called up and he was legitimately like just invisible, just did not see him whatsoever. And then I don't think it was the second game, but it was the second or the third game where he really started to become more noticeable. And then in the last two games, not including tonight, he was just getting chance after chance after chance. And I was like, dude, he has got to get rewarded at some point. And then he gets rewarded tonight. I was just really, really happy for him to see that, because he even mentioned it in the press game conference. That's his first NHL goal in literally 2 years. Yep. So he I think he started the year up here or got called up, and he was here for a while. He got a goal, and then he hadn't been back here in a very long time. So that's just really cool to see a guy like that who has been begging for his opportunity back up at the NHL level. He gets it because of all the injuries. And like he said, and numerous other people said, and even Pete DeBoer, he's making it hard for the coaches to kind of take him out of the lineup.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when Mason Marchment comes back, when we see Roope Hintz come back, hopefully soon. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and it's also really nice to see him get that goal after he did get one in the Avs game, a huge one that would have made it 3-2 late in the second, but it gets called back. So it's nice to see him not be affected by that at all and come in and score the first one of this game. I mean, that's huge as well.
Yep. It's also it might be a good thing later on in the year that we do have a bunch of injuries right now, and the coaching staff is able to figure out which of these call-ups they really trust with some serious NHL time. So now they've gone through Ritzkovian, Blue Mel, Huru. They know that, I mean, Huru and Blue Mel are guys that they're more confident in and trust more to roll with four lines the way that DeBoer likes to do. So if something happens later on in the season, God forbid in the playoffs, we have guys that we're confident in throwing in the lineup and being able to play the same game plan.
And you know what? Well, let's talk about this for a second too. This is a really good question. Zachary Mitchell, can we talk about Wyatt Johnson with the A on his jersey? I mean, I'm not surprised, but at the same time, that is a huge honor. The fact that, I mean, yeah, he's in his third year. He's played over 200 games now. But, I mean, you have to remember, he's only 22. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that this kid just comes out of nowhere. He's not even drafted top 10. He's 23rd overall in his draft year. He scores over 20 goals his first year, over 30 goals his second year. And then in his third year, when the number one center goes down, it's not Matt Duchene who gets that honor to get called up. It's him. And not only that, he also gets the A on his jersey.
Yep.
I mean, you cannot ask for anything better out of a first round draft pick. And he has been lights out, just fantastic and amazing.
Yeah. Further proves there might be a letter coming his way once this legendary captain that we have right now goes out. Cause I think he is the youngest player on the Stars roster. I mean, I know we've had it. This is his second year as opposed to some of our rookies, but he is the youngest because he started with us at 18. So it's definitely an honor. Shows how important he is despite being young and how much of a leader he is. So who knows? Maybe that's your early favorite for next captain of the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, and the late goal today is like a perfect indication of what you need from someone like that. It's the game's starting to get flipped on his head, and he puts it right back where it was.
Single-handedly shuts it down, 100%.
It's interesting that you talked about Nils Lundqvist last night, guys, about him not having a really good game. I didn't really notice him all that much when I did go back and watch the game earlier this afternoon. But he does have the lowest amount of time on ice at 15:55. That's even that's even lower than Brendan Smith. So I mean, Mossamino, whatever. But
I think part of that is they want him to know that last game was not acceptable. The other part is it's the second night of a back to back. And if you're going to pick someone out of all the defensemen to play last, you're probably picking Lundqvist.
And when you look at the number of shifts, he did have more shifts than Brendan Smith. So maybe Brendan Smith just got hemmed in his own zone for an extra long shift or something like that. So let's see. Just taking a look at some of the stats. Time on ice is very even, which is very good to see. Because second night of a back-to-back, that's what you kind of need. The shots on goal are 34 to 25, but that's not indicative of the play tonight. The Stars were just ridiculous team defense-wise. I thought their team defense was fantastic tonight. James, you mentioned it on the Discord. I mentioned it in my notes that specifically the Stars were doing a really good job in clogging up the middle of the ice in front of Ottinger. I mean, there was just they could not get anything through. The Red Wings couldn't, and they had like maybe a handful of like huge chances that I thought, oh, holy crap, here it comes.
Yeah.
And one of them was the goal, but that was it. I thought the team defense was great for the Stars.
And if you look at the shot chart here tonight, there's very spread out with the red dots and very condensed with the green dots. So you're 100% right there. Stars kept them on the outside, and the Red Wings let the Stars get interior and score right at the lip of their crease.
Yeah, and really the only reason why there's any shots from the slot for the Red Wings is from tips. I mean, the third period, they just cycled it to the top and threw all three forwards in front of the net. That was their goal, was make to where Otter can't see anything because nothing's hitting there anyway.
Fortunately for Otter, he's pretty good when he doesn't see the puck.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
All you have to do is be 6'5 and way over 200
and have pounds. Impeccable positioning.
Yes, that too. Interesting thing tonight for you. Have either one of you looked at the stats for tonight?
I did. I was about to bring it up too.
Okay. Who had the most time on ice for the forwards tonight, Chris?
Oscar Beck, 18 minutes time on ice. And hey, for a team defense game, your number one defensive minded center. Hey, we'll take it.
And then I think Sam Steele was second. Right? I think it's 17 and a half. Yeah. There you go. I'll take that any day.
And especially on the second night of a back-to-back, you want your fourth line to be able to play a little bit. Well, I guess they're not the fourth line right now, but you want your lower lines to be able to play a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. And they had to do that because of how much Robertson and Johnston played in the Avalanche game trying to come back.
Yep.
I mean, they both almost played 20 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, they finally get a power play goal at home. That's it. That's like a such a rare thing. It's almost like a fossil. It's just ridiculously rare to find it.
There's a lot of fossils.
Esa Lindell, of course.
It's a monster.
Ha ha ha.
It's.
I mean, Esa Lindell was fantastic tonight. Harley was a lot better. Miro Heiskanen just doing Miro Heiskanen things. We talked about Ottinger. What else do we need to talk about?
Biggest winner, biggest loser.
Sure. Let's do it. Who wants to go first?
Biggest winner is chat because they rightfully recognize that I look amazing right now and Ryan looks like he just came back from a high school prom. So good job, chat. That is correct. I am the more handsome Chambers.
Actually, that's not true according to you look at James's little thing over here, right?
It's true. No, he is.
Technically, he is the more handsome brother.
Between me and Ryan, then. James is objectively the most attractive.
No. Biggest winner for me, I'll give it to Wyatt Johnston. He's fantastic for everything that I talked about. And honorable biggest winner to Blumel and Ritkovian. You know, Blumel finally getting a first goal in 2 years and Ritzy for getting his first NHL point. So I love stories like that. I love to see that. James, who you got?
I'm giving mine to Esa Lindell. I'm taking both of these last two games into account. Esa was an absolute beast in both the games. I mean, the Avs game, he looked amazing. And he stayed on the ice for basically all the shorthanded time on ice. Shocker. He does it again tonight. In the Avs game, he only had 19 shifts, but he had 21, almost 22 minutes of ice time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nuts. And then he ends tonight with 23, almost 24 time on ice. So he's an absolute horse the past two games. A big part of why the Stars even had a chance in the Avalanche game, too.
He's been unbelievable. I hope he gets some recognition in these next couple of national broadcasts that the Stars are going to be playing on, because, man, he has been one of the best defensemen in the league, as long as you're not just looking at stats.
No, like I said, guys, he's going to get noticed in the Four Nations tournament. I truly believe that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I really think that people are going to really start appreciating, like, how good he really is. Like, Dallas Stars fans have known how good he has been for years. But I don't know why it is. Again, I'll say it again. This year, for some reason, I've really noticed him, and he's just been ridiculous. That's true. But I guess you have to score, like, a point per game and be a really good defenseman in order to get the Norris Trophy. But
no, you don't have to be a really good defenseman to get the Norris Trophy. Just the point per game thing.
Or score over 100 points, right?
You can score over 100 and let in over 100 goals.
Yeah, if you can score over 100 points and be minus on the year, and you can be the best defenseman in the league.
Yeah, yes. Okay, Biggest Loser, who we got?
I'm not going first.
I'll cheat and I'll give mine to DeSmith from last game. Because really, this game, there's not much to complain about. The Red Wings played terrible. I guess I could give it to the Red Wings back-checking. Terrible around their net, especially coming off
Patrick
a game.
Kane.
Especially coming off of a game where they were terrible around their own net. So back-to-back, really poor defensive showings for the Red Wings.
Yeah, I'm going to defend DeSmith a little bit here. Last game, there's no defending. He was bad last game. But I see a lot of Stars fans online, like, saying how DeSmith is just a terrible backup, which is just not true. I think he gets the hate because he's post Wedgwood, and Wedgwood was a great personality backup goalie, and people love personality goalies because they're just the best. But if you look at his stats this year, you look at some of the games he's won for us, especially go look at his first three starts. Goodness, he was insane. So DeSmith has been a very good backup goalie. Backup goalies sometimes give up 6 goals in a game. I mean, you got to expect it.
And honestly, when the fourth one went in, it was a bad one from DeSmith, but at that point, I already felt like the game was over. So, like, what are you going to do? He was standing on his head for so long and just never had any support. And that one was kind of like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Jacob's right. Like, DeSmith didn't get much help last night in the game. And, yeah, when you score 3 goals and you're one of the best defensive teams in the league, and you're missing a whole lot of, you know, offensive firepower, you should be able to win the game. Like, especially right now, I think, like, the offensive level for the Stars needs to be, if you score 3 goals, you better win the game. Normally you probably want 4, but
they haven't lost a game when they score 3 or more goals.
They haven't lost a game where they allow 2 or fewer.
Well, They lost the game last night.
Oh, no, that's the stat I was thinking. The one James said. I think my stat's wrong.
Okay, I was about to say. Yeah, literally last night they scored 3 goals and lost. And then I think didn't they score? I don't remember.
Stat was definitely wrong. I meant to say James' stat.
Yeah, they don't gotcha. Lose when they only let in 2 goals.
Right.
And then for me, my biggest loser is the Red Wings fans. It was hilarious because you probably know what I'm going to say, Chris, but so they're doing the Star Spangled Banner, right? And there's 2 opportunities to yell Stars, right? And then in the middle, in the Rockets, red glare, right? And that's where there's a really loud Stars the first time. And then you hear this little trickling of red. And then all of a sudden, it's just like the Stars fans were like, oh, really? Challenge accepted. And the second one was like immensely louder than the first one. It was awesome. I loved it. I couldn't help but snicker. And then there were some other people up in the press box that were kind of, you know, nodding their head up and down and smiling. It was awesome to see. I love Stars fans so much. So I guess it's also a biggest winner to Stars fans at the American Airlines Center tonight, too. So, okay, guys, anything else tonight?
Nope, that's it.
All right. We'll be back with you guys again on Tuesday. Who are we facing? I forgot.
You shouldn't have put us on the spot.
I'll get it.
Give Carolina. Sorry.
7 p.m.
There
Carolina.
We go. Okay.
During the snow.
It's going to be a tough game. During the what?
During the snowpocalypse. It's coming on Tuesday. You haven't looked at your phone? Get ready. Go buy some pasta. It's coming.
Oh my god.
Why pasta?
You need pasta if it's going to be snowing, James. You can't be driving.
Pasta and snow goes together, I guess.
It does.
Okay, if it was the Bruins coming to town, then that would make sense, and I think that would be funny. But no, that makes
snow.
No sense.
When you got snow, you got to eat pasta just in case. Because what happens if we can't drive for 2 weeks? I mean, you don't know. These Texas roads are crazy.
Thank you guys so much for following along with us here live tonight. I'm just going to ignore that. There's even more of you that are listening afterwards. SarcasticRemarks.com is the website. As always, wherever you're listening, please leave us a 5-star review. If you're here on YouTube watching us, please consider liking and subscribing and hitting that notification bell so that you never miss an episode of Starcastic Remarks. And as always, thank you to our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that pick six option. It's THPN is the promo code. And Detroit loses twice tonight. The Lions and the Red Wings. Makes me so happy. Alongside James and alongside Chris, my name is Ryan. We'll catch you guys on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you guys are listening. Chris.
Fly away, Wings. GG, boys.